outline, what I've been reading concerning this chapter here, the earliest chapters in Genesis, are so pregnant with meaning, as I want to say. It's great, great word, pregnant, of course, is you think of one thing, but some things just have so much meaning. And this is one of those things, and I'm going to try to show you why, a little bit anyway. So this is more of a teaching sermon. Like I said this morning, I teach differently, or I preach in different ways. Not all my preaching follows the same pattern. This morning I was preaching catechetically based on some scripture text. Tonight I'm going to be teaching a little bit, instructing a little bit based on the Word of God in these early chapters, particularly chapter 4 here. So let's now pay attention and listen to the Word read from Genesis chapter 4. Hear now God's people, His Word. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I can just stop right there and talk about that, how she misinterpreted things here. But we're not gonna do that right now. And she, again, verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. There again, you see, just in these two verses, you have all kinds of things going on, just to touch upon. She usually, the scripture says, and Eve, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and conceived Cain, and then afterwards would say, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare Abel. But he didn't say that, see? So he said she bare Cain and then Abel, which means perhaps that they were twins, like Jacob and Esau. But that be that as it may. And then the occupations are mentioned here, that Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And that has ramifications to this day. And in the process of time, verse 3, came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very much wroth, and his countenance fell. So notice they knew that they were to offer to God. They both were part of a covenant family. They knew that they needed to bring offerings. It's already there. And verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now the door is, of course, the door of his heart. It's right there. It's right in him. And he's going to collapse into it if he's not careful. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Just that saying alone, am I my brother's keeper? We've heard people say that as an excuse not to care. We are our brother's keepers, aren't we? And he said in verse 10, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries from unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive, a vagabond, shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife,
And she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifice in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." May the Lord bless this scripture, this reading to our hearts and minds. Again, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And we pray that thou would bless it to us this evening in your name. Amen. Well, as I said, this is a chapter that's full of information, and it has a lot to say to us. So I want to say just a few things in the time that remains for us this evening. You will note well that after the creation of the world, and it's talked about in the first two chapters, then came the fall in chapter 3. Not much is said. Not much is said about Adam and Eve and their family, the birth of the many children that they had. A brief mention is made. But the main event in their lives is mentioned in chapter 4. It's all about, one thing about their lives is remarked in detail in the scripture, and that's Cain and Abel. The bearing forth of Cain and Abel. So that makes us, that puts us on notice, as it were, that something profound, something interesting has taken place that is of monumental importance. For, you know, Adam and Eve had, you know, a family, and they had all kinds of things happening to them after they were thrust out of the garden and all that. But barely a mention is made of it. But all this, this entire chapter, is about one main event in their lives and then thereafter. So we're put on notice here that this is a remarkable thing. Now, what is the historical significance of Genesis chapter 4, and particularly the birth and the life of Cain and Abel, and then, of course, the death of Abel by Cain. What's that all mean? So I want to talk a little bit about the significance and point up an article that there are about four things of significance to it. Then we want to talk about the setting there, what was going on around them, and what this was all about between them, and how this happened. Like, for example, that they may have been twins. You can't be certain about that, because God has said in other places, even in this chapter, that they gave birth and then another and then another. But oftentimes, it's just right on the heels like this, it may be that they were twins. It still means that Cain was a little older, by minutes maybe, but they were fraternal twins, not identical, as well. So we could talk about the setting a little bit. And then the third point I want to talk about, the characters themselves, Cain and Abel, and how both of them were in the sphere of the covenant.
They came from a covenant family, Adam and Eve. There was no other family, right? Adam and Eve. It started with them. And so they both came out. The elect and the reprobate came from the same household. And then spread out through the world. So those three main points. First, some of the significance of this chapter. What are some of the things to point up and point out here? Well, remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's called the Protoevangel. It's the gospel in seed form. The announcement, the first announcement of the gospel of Jesus Christ is found in verse 15 of the previous chapter. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It's talking about Christ and the cross and how he defeated Satan through the resurrection, of course, and the the acceptance of his sacrifice. And because God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we're all saved who believe in him. We're all safe and saved and en route to heaven. Glory be to God, right? And that's announced here in seed form, as I said, in a symbolic way, if you will, the first announcement of the gospel. Well, that announcement there, notice that there's enmity between the two. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent are both coming from the same person, Eve. Eve, because remember I talked about before that Satan couldn't have little demons, right? Couldn't have little demon babies running around growing up. Eve, he had to depend on Eve for his seed on the earth. And so both the reprobate and the elect, both the ungodly and the godly, come from this. And so already we have here that happening in Genesis chapter 4. Here come Cain, a reprobate, and Abel, an elect of God, from the woman, from the same with the seed of the serpent, the seed of the devil. So that is taking place right now. It immediately is set before us. The stage is set for all humanity in the birth of Cain and Abel. And in looking at them, we see ourselves either we're on the side of God or we're on the side of the devil. We are of the seed of the woman, sons and daughters of God, or we're of the seed of the devil. Remember, the devil's seed, his family comes from the flesh. Comes from the woman who gives birth. And that's already established in the first chapter. You see why God just jumps immediately to this? Because that enmity is burst on the scene. So it's very significant, this fourth chapter, and why it's so important. It's the focus. It's the focal point of what's been happening in the family of Adam and Eve. Here it is. The promise, the gospel promise in seed form announced in verse 15 has taken place already. And that is going to have ramifications throughout the earth. The second thing that I want to mention is that this enmity that Cain has is against God, right? And those who follow in his footsteps will come from the woman, will come from his wife, and their wives, and so on, are at enmity against God. And one of the proofs of that enmity against God is the fact that they seek worldly fame and fortune. They go out into the world to till the world, as it were. It's all about the money, right? It's all about the fame. It's all about the fortune. Cain goes out to take on the earth. He's a tiller of the ground. And it's too much for him that the earth is going to rebel against him. That's what he wants. And the earth is going to curse him back, as you will. And it's too much for him to handle.
But that's where he goes. The enmity against God is a reaching out for the things of the world. Do you see that? Do you see that to this day in the sons and daughters of the devil? Reaching out for the world, the things of this world, the fame, the fortune, the successes, whatever it takes, the toys, the games, the things of this world. People are consumed by them. I'm not saying that we have to deal with it. Of course, as Christians, we have to deal with the world. We have to get into the world and do our thing and work. But we work as unto the Lord, right? We gather things to give glory to God and to pass them on to others to help our children and our grandchildren. Isn't it more blessed to give to us? More blessed to give than to receive? More blessed to give than to get? And we need to teach our children that. We need to teach them that. It's more blessed. I remember one time my wife had a cousin, and my wife really liked this hat of her cousin, and cousin just takes it off and gives it to her. That impressed me. And I don't even think her cousin is saved necessarily, but she just took it off and gave it to her, even though it meant something much, a lot to her, this hat that she had. That's the kind of person we ought to be all the time. Better to give than receive. It's enmity against God to want to get, to want to take, to want to just dive into this world and stay with it. So that's another thing that jumps out at us. Also, of course, he kills his brother. Right? What's that mean? Cain kills his brother. It's fratricide, right? Killing your own flesh and blood. That's fratricide. But it's more than that. It's announcing the killing of the righteous by the unrighteous. The killing, the murdering of the godly by the ungodly. And that, to this day, don't mistake it, brothers and sisters, in their worst moments, they are willing to say, we want Christians out of our lives, out of our culture, out of our education system, out of every aspect of society. We don't want to hear from them. Now, most people won't say we want them dead, but some will go that far. If we have to kill them, we will. And so there's that going on as well. The third thing that I want to point up immediately here is that Cain has successive generations, and they are all represented as reprobates. Those who are against God are at enmity with God. And then Abel has a representative too. Seth is going to take his place, and Seth is going to bring on the generations of the sons of God. And so I've mentioned this already to you, that there is this this setting forth of the promise here that I will put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, and that's going to go throughout the generations until it culminates with Christ. Christ against Antichrist, Christ against the devil, Christ victorious over Satan at the cross. And so we need to get on the side of what? On the side of the devil? The devil's been defeated. He still causes trouble. He's still around. His ultimate defeat will be at the return of Christ. But in the meantime, he is a defeated foe. Why would you want to get on his side? But the whole world has gone after the side of the devil. The whole world. And finally, the fourth thing here that's brought out in an article I've been reading about this chapter here, about what's going on concerning the proto-evangel, the promise of God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, is that the only way we can overcome it, the way to defeat the enemy, that is Satan and sin and the world and death, is through faith.
we don't take up weapons against them, right? Weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons. They're not our fists. It's faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That is the victory. That is how we overcome all these very major enemies, right? Sin and death, the world and Satan. These are formidable foes. There's no way to defeat them, brothers. There's no way whatsoever, humanly speaking. It's all by faith. Faith in the Son of God. Just that gives you a little picture here, right? I think I've given you a clearer picture of what's going on here in the early chapters of Genesis. And that alone is, I think, worth taking home. I can end it right now, but I got a few more minutes, so I want to continue and talk about the setting a little bit. Just a little bit about the setting. It's important to understand that this was in the first 130 years. Adam was 130 years when Eve conceived and brought forth Cain, or it was within that first 130 years that we are talking. We also notice that Cain and Abel are grown men by the time this happened, and so there was time that went past that between the expulsion, Adam and Eve's expulsion from the garden, and the birth and the growing up of two men, Cain and Abel. It's probably later on in that first 130 years than sooner, later than sooner. So it's some time has gone by. All kinds of things happened. All kinds of people were in the earth. All kinds of people had been born. Adam and Eve had other siblings. By the time Cain and Abel were grown up, there were many sons and daughters. And they got married and they had children and so on and so forth. So there was a little society going on. This family was growing. But this is what happened. This is what happened in the first within the first 130 years. But nothing else is reported. So it shows you how significant it really is that this has taken place. And this is why it's here in Genesis chapter 4, immediately almost. Even though, you know, 50 years have gone by before these things started taking place. So that's part of what that's part of the setting here. And as I said, that they were some have argued that they were twins, like Jacob and Esau, which magnifies the problem. And I'll just get into that in a little bit when I talk about the characters a little bit more in the concluding moments that I have. But we hear we read in this passage here how Cain married. And he brought forth children, and they, of course, married, and they brought forth children. And so Cain, by the time he murders Abel, and then he goes off and has some more children, sons and daughters, he goes off and builds a city. You don't build a city by yourself. Like I said, there's a whole society of people by now. And they're with Cain. A lot of them are with Cain. The ones that are the sons and daughters of God are with Seth, or come from Seth. But with Cain, there's a whole family of people there. And they are already building a city, the city of Nod. And so it appears that even though Genesis 4 follows Genesis 3, the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the garden, their expulsion had, it's been 130 years. And the earth is being populated by the children of the devil. Remember, he gets them from Eve. He has to. Can't have little baby demons. And the children of God. Right? And that's That's true today.
I remember when my, I think my wife told me something that happened with her mother, where I think it was her mother that said that they looked at the baby and they said, "Oh, look at the little devil," something like that, right, in the hospital. And it was a Christian, it was a Catholic hospital, and the nun said, "Did you hear what she called that child? A little devil?" You know, in a way, it's true. We do have either little demons or little sons and daughters of God. You know, but you don't want to just go around and call babies little demons because you don't know. But that's the truth. And it's the truth to this day. There's only one of two camps to which we all belong. We either belong to the camp of God in Christ, or we belong to the camp of Satan. One or the other, elect or reprobate. Take your pick. I mean, who in his or her right mind would choose Satan? Well, I don't believe in any of it. Well, you're in bad shape because that's what Satan wants you to believe, that he doesn't exist. Right? There's that expression, the world gives that expression on some of it, in some of its television shows. The greatest trick the devil has ever played on humanity is to convince them that he doesn't exist. That just sets you up. They're right. That's exactly right. Just sets you up for disaster in the world to come. It's all going on here. So that's the significance and the setting here. And then the characters, just a little bit, as I said a couple of times now, they may have been twins. I'm kind of convinced that they may have been twins, fraternal twins. But twins nonetheless. And the reason why I like that idea, that interpretation, is because it really sets the intensity of the situation. It sets it up even more so. Here they are. I mean, the closest two humans can be, besides being identical, is to be fraternal twins in the same womb, sharing the same womb, and coming out one before the other, ahead of the other. But it just goes to show you how intense the battle line is drawn when you think about it. One is the seed of the devil, is at enmity against God and all of his people, and the other is for God and for his people and loves God and is a friend of God. And they come from the same womb. They share the same blood. And it just goes to show you, when Cain kills Abel, that there's nothing more powerful than this enmity against God. When you kill your own twin brother, that's how intense the hatred is. Blood cannot bring us together. And you worry about the Democrats and the Republicans, right? Blood can't bring us together. Being close and sharing the same womb can't bring us together. There's hatred and animus and enmity between brothers, sisters, because one is of the family of the devil and the other is of the family of Jesus Christ. We could pretend that that's not so, but it is. And so Cain and Abel set before us a really powerful, powerful lesson here. That flesh and blood won't save us. Only Jesus Christ, only faith in Jesus Christ can save us. Your family is not going to be able to save you, but Jesus Christ will. In other words, our relationship, brothers and sisters, as brothers and sisters with each other, is a spiritual relationship, right? I would never have anything to do with most of you people. And you would never have anything much to do with me if we weren't of the same spiritual family. Flesh is not the answer. The spirit is.
that's brought up and brought out here. And in I think in an intense way, a magnified way, with Cain slaying his own brother. The unrighteous, the wicked, the reprobate, killing the righteous, the godly, the blessed one. So there's that going on. The other thing going on here is interesting, I think, and don't want to read too much into this, but it's right here in front of me. I'm not reading too much into this at all. I trust me, brothers and sisters, you need to read up on it and study it yourself a little bit and read some commentary on it. But Cain and his family, and particularly the sons I mentioned that were mentioned here, of course, there's Lamech and his polygamy there with the two wives and all that going on. But then there's the birth of Jabal, a father of such as dwell in tents, herding cattle and things like that. His brother Jubal, a father of those who handle instruments, music, the arts, and all that. And then Tubal Cain, and artifice of brass and iron and all. In other words, these people have become, in their lives, they had become the masters of the earth. They were the ones that had taken charge of the earth and had begun to develop the arts and the sciences already. And it appears that Cain is, of the two, the stronger one. He's a tiller of the ground. He's a builder of cities. He's a hard worker. He's a tough guy. And the children that his children have are masters of the earth. Whereas Abel is the more gentle one. He is in the quietude of the field. He's a shepherd of sheep. He's more contemplative, softer. Basically, Cain is the strong one, and Abel is the weakling. That's the picture here. Cain is the one with his family and his generations that master the earth. Abel is the one that's killed. The earth swallows up. The softer one. The one that cannot really defend against a much stronger brother. Cain represents those who own the world. And I've asked you before, brothers and sisters, consider who runs the world. It ain't Christians, as they say. You'd be hard-pressed to find one or two or three or four Christian leaders, truly Christian leaders. There are, but not many compared to the world. The world, the godless, the unbelieving, the reprobate own and operate this place. And there is no question about that. Of course, we know God rules over all, but in his providence and in his sovereign decree and according to his plan and purpose, they rule the world. Just like Cain was ruling the world and his generations. To this day, the Cainians rule the earth. Whereas Abel is a representative of that which is God's choice, the foolish thing, the weak thing, the base thing, the despised thing, the thing that is not, and in his day, no more. But God will raise them up. He will bring to naught everything. The Canaanites of this world, the rulers of this earth, the prosperous and the proud and the strong, he will bring them to naught so that no one, no man, no woman can boast in his sight. For he chooses the weak ones the base ones. And it's represented here in the slaying, the stronger slaying the weaker brother, Abel. It's all here. It's all here before. Do you see to this day, Genesis 4 is just happening. It's just manifested. It's just the outward growth of what's going on from Genesis 4 on into our day and into our time. And it all started in a covenant family, in a covenant household. They were both in the sphere of the covenant. Right? They both had the same parents. They both had the same teaching. They both knew that they were to sacrifice as unto the Lord. They both knew about worship. They both knew about the garden. It was still around then. And the cherubim still blocked their place. They all witnessed it. They all heard the stories. They all saw it. It was surrounding them. It was right in front of their face. It was all there as a clear witness to them. And the one goes one way, the way of the wicked, the way of the devil, and the other goes the way of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, they had a treasure chest of information at that time. Not as much as we do, clearly not as much as we do, we have, but they had a treasure, all of them, both of them, from the same covenant family, same covenant household, in the sphere of the covenant. And so it's very important for us to advance the faith, especially to our sons and daughters, and hope and pray for your children. And now most of us are old enough, grandchildren, to pray desperately for them. May God hear our voices often. Deliver them from out of the clutches of this world into the faith of the new world, the faith in Jesus Christ. But that's where it's at, brothers and sisters, right? That's where it's at. And it's announced and it's brought up and brought out in the early chapters, the very first chapter after the expulsion of Adam and Eve, the very first major event in this chapter 4, the birth of Cain and Abel, a son of Satan, a son of God. Which are we? Children of God, right? Praise the Lord. The only way you are, the only way you can safely say, the only way you can honestly say that is through faith, because only faith can overcome this world of sin and death, the devil. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful to you in Jesus Christ. You brought forth Satan thought he had won the day when Abel, the son of God, was brought down to the earth, his blood spilt. But thanks be to God, you raise up another, Seth, and from Seth and his generations comes Jesus Christ, our Savior, our God, our guide, forever and ever, world without end. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing a final hymn, hymn 526.